Good afternoon, everyone. On March the 10th at 2:30, I fell at a meeting of the Council of Public Affairs and broke my hip. Nothing unusual happened. That doesn't happen to everyone. That happens after that, for the next while after that. But one of the main things of the next month or two that I never knew before in my life was the tremendous support that can come from family and friends. Better medicine there can't be. And so many of you came to bid me well in the hospital. I want to use this occasion here in this room and over television to thank you most sincerely for your kindness. And so it's an honor, it's a pleasure to come back again to the Council of Public Affairs to be the first speaker, 37 consecutive years of the Council of Public Affairs, and I'm delighted to be here. Others, my other two colleagues will deal perhaps with issues that relate to the city of Lethbridge, with issues that may relate to religious questions. I'm confining most of my suggestions to topics that are global or are beyond Lethbridge and beyond the primary concerns of the church. First topic, I'm going to in each case propose a topic, an explanation for the topic, and a suggestion of the speakers for the topic. I have 12. And I will go with great speed, and these topics can be dealt with more casually, I hope, throughout the year. First topic, oil. When the wells run dry, what then? Of course, this is related to the question of who, in fact, owns the oil wells. This huge well that is currently residing in Alberta. That's a question we need to give thought to. Not many issues in Alberta touch the nerve endings of Albertans more than Trudeau's energy policy and his concerns that energy should be is a part and parcel of being Canadian. It's part of the federal structure. And with the to and flow of funds from the health care billions that have given from the federal government to the provincial governments and the income tax distribution, the DST tracks, and all of the relationships that flow between provincial and federal governments, there is a case to be made for other participants in the wealth of Alberta. But I want to warn everybody that something you know so well, this huge wealth of ours was not always so. Prior to 1947, before Leduc, Alberta was one of the poorest provinces of Alberta. I can remember well two barrels of apples being sent to the poor Campbell boys from a orchard farming relative in Ontario, being sent out by train to keep us alive and going. We may not be as wealthy as we are now forever. So there's a huge issue. There's about a trillion barrels of oil remain underground. That we are consuming it about 84 million barrels a day. We have probably, by calculations, something like 33 years left before the wells run dry. And so the consumption of $2 million of barrels going daily, we will finish our oil supply 24 years or so from now. Who knows what these figures mean? But they are being discussed. What then? Where from the other energy? Where do the other soil, the energy sources come? In this Council of Public Affairs, there was consistently speakers over the last decade or 15 years making the case for wind sources of wind energy. Those voices for investment and suggestions of Pincher Creek and other areas were turned down by the ruling powers of the provincial government, because the priority was given to oil-related sources of energy. Now I think we must go back and think about what happened in the leadership of that issue. Topic number two, the provincial government's record on environment, a report card. Clearly this is a hot topic, but it's a concern to every single Albertan. There are hundreds of players in this issue, and we know so much about it. We've had discussions in Council of Public Affairs over the issues in Pitcher Creek, over the migrations of animals through the park area. It's astonishing how the wheel is turning now. Shell Oil has made a case for greater preservation of the parklands of Alberta, of the disgrace of ruining parklands and migration routes for our quest for more oil. You should know that Preston Manning himself, in an op-ed page in the Globe and Mail, suggested that the Alberta's handling of the environment was not among the best in Canada, and that it would surely be, for as he saw it, an issue for the next provincial election. I therefore suggest that Preston Manning could be invited to be, and might well accept, an invitation to speak on the role of government in planning for the environmental issues of Alberta. I think we should involve students in the environmental issue. They are keen, they are knowledgeable, and it's they inherit the earth. There are special places to save, and the government has a poor record on saving the special areas. I haven't time to go into the special areas situation, but it's not one that commands appreciation throughout Alberta, and I have 4 minutes left. No. Then I must move with magna cum claritate. I must go. Suicide among the Aboriginal youth. A pity and a shame. The statistics on this are disgraceful. The average youth suicide rate across Canada is 18 times per 100,000 students. There are 5 times the number of suicide rates of Indian youth in Alberta. When you read the obit columns and see the young faces that have died, you have to ask yourself how and why are there so many? And why must this shame be perpetuated? And where is the greater concern that we ought to be having for the Aboriginal community of Alberta? I would love to give you the statistics I have here because they're powerful, overwhelming, and they touch the conscience, should touch the conscience of everyone. Next topic, 4th, the ethical considerations of government. Every government has ethical considerations. Every government has accountability issues. The accountability and the ethical issues, in my judgment, in the province of Alberta, have not been dealt with sufficient care and seriousness. The huge amounts of money that Alberta has take special efforts on the part of Albertans to deal with ethical issues. Don Hamilton is the ethics commissioner of Alberta, and he has agreed to come down to speak. His statutes provide limitations for him to speak in, but he is willing to speak on the broader problems of ethics. He is an officer of the Alberta government. Oh, can't, Terry. Impossible. Then I must talk about the grasslands. The grasslands are the most endangered species of life and habitat, at least in Alberta, and for all that matter, in all of North America. They're very precious, and we're not paying part of them. We ought to be talking about that, on the issues of grassland. The 7th topic I have has the UN a future? We need to be giving some study to the fact that Mr. Bolton has been proposed by President Bush to be the one of the 190 ambassadors, joke, in the United Nations, but the United Nations is going to be transformed by American, naked American power, as represented by John Bolton. Topic number 8, U.S. being a bully. The bullying of U.S. is too much. We know too much about that. The governor of Montana has never been asked to speak here. There are professors at the University of Montana who want to speak on, from the American perspective, as they see it, of their northern neighbor. The proportional representation issue needs to be addressed again. Gordon Gibson is the great exponent in British Columbia of that, and he would be a great speaker. Healthcare, Israel, and others, and I have to go. Terry's very insistent.
Actually, I have the privilege of sitting in between Gord and Pastor Thiessen here this morning and found that there's actually a similarity. They actually both believe in the hereafter. Reverend Thiessen, of course, believes that eternal life as a Christian, that once you're saved, you'll go to heaven. And Gord was saying it happens, he believes in the hereafter as well, that quite frequently he'll walk into a room and say, well, what am I hereafter? And I figure I can make fun of Gord because I will be mentioning healthcare as a burning issue. So, one of the things I was asked to approach on today was why do we, as a television station, what do we cover and why? And so I'd just like to touch on that for a second, that for Global News, we believe in being local. That's really what is separating local television stations nowadays. I mean, there's, you know, with satellite television, there's so many out there. The only thing that's going to make us distinct is what's happening locally. So for Global News, our goal is to reflect what's happening in the community. And so that's why we rely on press releases and invitations to covering events that are happening in the community. We also ask our reporters and our viewers to tell us what piques their interest. If you're driving by and you see something happening, is that something that other people would be interested in as well? We also find that as we make contacts, as we're working on a story, someone will tell us, hey, have you checked out this? And we make contacts that way. But ultimately, we want to cover what is of interest to our viewers. So when deciding what to cover and why, we do ask the question, as to why would this impact our viewers? Why would they be interested in it? And we try and put a human face on it. And we also look for good news stories to cover to once again reflect what's happening in the community and to balance some of the doom and gloom stories that that news tends to cover, which I think is getting away from a lot of the accidents and the old if it leads, it bleeds mentality that used to be out there. And I think that's changing nowadays, reflecting that a lot of the viewers may not be interested in that. I came across a recent survey regarding, it was done by Audience Research and Dynamics, which asked the question, what do viewers consider as the issues of the day? Interestingly enough, 86% of those surveyed think weather is the most important issue. 76%, now this is, sorry, this, and this is specifically to television as to what they would like to see. So obviously the weather forecast, knowing what's happening, severe weather. 76% stated crime, 72% stated health, and 71% wanted local news. At the bottom of the list, 41% said sports, and 40% were entertainment. So locally, what do we see as the burning issues relating to that survey and what our viewers are telling us? We do emphasize weather. If there's severe weather, and we look back at this past year with a tornado, with the flooding that we had this past year, the drought that we've experienced in the past, and of course what's happening in New Orleans right now, that is a lot of interest to viewers. And so one of the burning issues, I think, would be weather patterns. There's the issue of water as a resource here in southern Alberta, the issue of Milk River, and whether or not we should be storing some of the water here before we send it down to the state. So those are some things to keep in mind. Crime. Crime affects a lot of people, obviously. Cracking down on crime, what can be done to protect yourself? I've heard there's, on average, 10 break-and-enters a week here in Lethbridge, and so that affects a lot of people. And so what can you do to prevent yourself from being a victim? The issue of crystal meth, I think, is starting to get some play, but if you talk to a lot of police officials and also community, it's a major problem, and I think is really just now starting to get the attention it deserves. It's just what a harmful and addictive drug it is and what impact that's having on the community. Health matters, of course, the West Nile issue right now. We like to focus on medical breakthroughs. Once again, that seems to be a priority from viewers. And health care, as you mentioned, that's the number one issue in the polls that we've conducted on election issues, and especially right now when we're dealing with the government surplus. I think it becomes an issue is what do we do with the excess money that the provincial government has. So locally, once again, we try to reflect what's happening in the community, and I think some local issues that could be looked at. I think the issue of Aboriginal issues, housing. Gord had mentioned already the suicide rate, and I think the issue of diabetes, drinking and driving on the reserve, and job employment opportunities, not only from the natives, but also I think here in town. If you talk to a lot of the restaurants right now, it's very difficult to get people to hire staff. It's a shortage. Young people nowadays want higher paying jobs and want to do less work. And it's my understanding it's quite an issue in the city right now. The economy, of course, the gasoline prices, natural gas prices coming up the growth and demands on the infrastructure that the city of Lethbridge is going through as we are rapidly growing, and is the city prepared to handle that? And the issue of education is always a hot topic as well, post-secondary. I see Bob here today, and of course that's come to the issue again as far as funding for post-secondary students. Just a couple of, on a personal note, my own personal issues, I guess, that I see are burning issues today are the values that society has nowadays. The decline of the traditional family, the effect pornography has on our society, and the lifestyle as well that Canadians, you know, in spite of what's happening with gas prices, SUVs still are the most popular vehicles out there. And I think it's, there's also an issue of integrity in politics. If you look at the difference between Canada and the U.S., President Bush and where he stands, at least you know where he stands on a lot of issues. You may not agree with him, and you look at what happened to Stockwell Day here in this country, that there's a marked difference between politicians and how this country views integrity. So I just want to leave you on, a bit of a positive note. Speaking of President Bush, I understand he was walking through the airport the other day, and he happened to notice a man with a long, flowing white robe and a long beard, and so he went over to him and says, excuse me, you look like Moses. And the man just stood there and ignored him. And so President Bush asked again. He said, excuse me, you really look like Moses. And so finally the man turned to him and said, sorry, if you don't mind, I'd prefer not to talk to you. The last time I spoke to a bush, I ended up in the desert for 40 years.
I too would like to extend congratulations to the council on your new status. I think it's wonderful, and look forward to many more years of contributions that you can make to the quality of life in Lethbridge in southern Alberta. Burning issues for me right now, my knees are really hurting. I've been building a garage at home, and it's difficult to get past some of those burning issues, but I've struggled past it. I won't take my watch off and put it on the pulpit here or the podium here as I do at church on Sunday, because everyone knows that when a pastor takes the watch off, it really doesn't mean anything anyways. I was delighted.
And Will here.
Well, Terry's here. It's great. The pit bull is here in front. That's good. I was delighted yesterday. I walked into a local pet store and bought some fish. And I was asked whether I would like to contribute the remaining 20 cents of my change to preschool in Uganda. I said, preschool in Uganda? That's what are you talking about? She said, well, it's actually my sister is running a preschool in Uganda, and we're just, you know, we're trying to do a little bit of fundraising, and we're just taking little bits of change and sending it off to her. And I said, absolutely, I'd like to do that. My first issue is an international one. I think Africa is an issue. I think poverty, disease and health, education, economic development, racism, corruption, these are all issues that are linked as the world, I would like to say, pays attention to Africa, but I don't think it's happening. Since 1980, while every other economic region in the world has made significant gains, Africa has actually slipped by a fair margin. And that has to change in the global community that the world now is. My proposal is the elimination, and I'm not alone. I'm long after joining the train of people who are calling for the elimination of extreme poverty, particularly in Africa, by 2025 through, among other means, through adoption of the UN's Millennium Development Goals. I think it is a worldwide responsibility for us to begin to pay attention to Africa, and I think there is no question there is Africa fatigue on people's minds. I'd invite you to come with me one time to a visit to Zambia, and your mind and heart would change instantly. Second, bring it more to a national focus. I think we have a dearth of leadership, a tremendous scarcity of leadership in our nation, a lack of ideas, a disintegration of trust, a disintegration of democracy. I'm a Winnipegger, transplanted to Lethbridge 3 and a bit years ago, and everyone in the country is familiar with many of the Albertan attitudes towards anything east of the Alberta-Saskatchewan border. But there are real democratic issues here in this province. There's a tremendous scarcity of honest, authentic democracy in Alberta. we have very little reason to call the nation to account. We ought to start at home. But, of course, I shouldn't rag on that. I'm a transplanted Albertan. We need political leadership. We need spiritual leadership. We need corporate leadership in the business realm. We need academic leadership. We need leadership in the media sector. Where are our nation's leaders? How can we create a culture that identifies and develops leaders? What kind of nation are we and do we wish to become? Where is the public dialogue? Thank God for a place like this, where there is some engagement of issues, where there is some engagement of issues a little deeper than how much money do we have for retirement. What a breath of fresh air you are to this part of the world. Are there any new ideas concerning education, healthcare, energy and resources, economic development, taxation policy, industrial policy, social policy, international relations? Is there anything new on the horizon? Have we forgotten to think? Are we out of new ideas, or are we just going to recycle the old things, put them back on the table under a different political stripe? And I don't see the future in that. We have not had, whether we agree with their politics or not, we haven't had, in my opinion, significant national leadership since the days of Pearson and Trudeau, again, whether we agree with them or not. Provincially, I wonder how we will responsibly, and by responsibly, I would include in large parentheses, generously, steward the wealth that we are accidental recipients of. Both the income and the expenditure sides of the equation need serious consideration. Will we continue to extract and export our natural resources at a discount? Will we have the courage to lead within Confederation? Just a small proposal. We have billions, apparently, in it somewhere. Billions more than we expected. I wonder if Alberta could lead the nation by providing a couple of $1 billion for academic institutions across the country to establish research and development chairs, looking towards the future, perhaps for energy development, for resource development, et cetera, et cetera. Fourth, on a more local level, a regional level, water. What's the future of water in southern Alberta? I had my sprinklers on yesterday. Every time I turn my sprinklers on, I really want the grass to grow, and I think, well, now, every time I go out to Waterton, there's less and less snow cap. It's visibly obvious. I mean, and I'm concerned about that. I don't know much about water except that it's really good to drink. And I'd love to have enough around for future generations, and I think we're going to have to address that. What's being investigated in terms of sustainable water usage for consumption and for irrigation? Can Lethbridge, can this area lead the province and the nation in considering this issue? Climate is another issue. I think Hurricane Katrina is it probably the latest and largest hot button, but Hurricane Katrina is only a North American visitation of what so many nations around the world deal with on a regular basis. Climate on a global scale is a major issue. I think the media is an issue. I'm disturbed and appalled with the CBC strike. I have written letters asking that funding be suspended while they're not offering the program that they're mandated to offer. I believe in the CBC and the National Broadcasting Institution. I also believe in locally owned and privately held media outlets. What's the role of media in society? Do they influence, or are they being influenced, and how? What is responsible journalism? What will that look like in the future? And that's where I'll stop. I'm stopping early. Can you believe it? Thank you.